As we're preparing, I just would ask you at church, I want to call you to pray on Wednesday morning. The saga continues, yet Wednesday morning here in this boardroom, and then on a walk together, the new vice president of Metrolinx and myself will be meeting, and we've been in contact on a call again with them and the MTO this week, and we agreed that Jerry and I would meet together. And really now it's really between he and I. So I want to ask you to pray for that meeting, that God would grant clarity of thought and speech to articulate very well the option we're going to be presenting to them, and that good rational thought would prevail. So yeah, so we just ask you to pray for that. This is Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. It'll be happening right here. I was a real jerk growing up, frankly. Amen. No, it really is true. And I know some of you would not want me to speak in past tense. I've recounted to you many, many times in my history of how, in many ways, I was an out-of-control person. My rage or anger from lots of things that were buried deep in my heart really would erupt. And in the most unlikely place, at Canadian Bible College and Canadian Theological Seminary. But I'm glad it happened there, for one of the first and most significant steps in the process of transformation of my character happened there, as God really broke me and put a mirror up to me and showed me things that were pretty ugly, actually. Yeah, I could rationalize all kinds of things and put the blame on all of the people that were such idiots. But you and I know deep in our hearts, actually, it's not what happens to us, it's how we respond. It's the strength and the depth of our character underneath. As John Maxwell would say, your problem is not your problem. It's how you respond to your problem that is so often the problem. And what's underneath that that causes us to respond like that. You know, singing this song this morning about this last song about the agony that Christ went through in his death and his resurrection and his enthronement in glory brought to my mind, knowing what we're talking about today, this question: did he just do all of that for no apparent reason? Here's what I struggle with. Can I be honest with you? Besides the extremes, what difference does Jesus actually make between you and your neighbor? Does that question ever plague you? As we look at our lives and the life of the church today, we seem so undifferent. And it seems like that, so much so that it makes it hard to actually go out and why try to change them or tell them about Christ? Like, are we okay to just talk frankly in the room? If you've ever thought that, then that's a good thing. You're in good company because you're wrestling with issues of faith and what difference Christ actually means or makes. As Scott McKnight said, that in the church culture, if you've got a salvation culture, then actually Christ doesn't really matter so long as you got your fire insurance for when you die. But in a gospel culture that transforms us, and I love what we sang there in that one song, how he saves my soul. Grace unending, saves present tense. Because that's the truth of the gospel. Do you know the gospel has just as much relevance to your life right now today as it did before you trusted Christ? In a salvation culture, it doesn't. It was all about back there somewhere. But in a gospel culture, what Jesus calls us to, and the gospel that Jesus preached, actually, he does make a difference. For he is very concerned about living as Jesus would live, as though he were in your place. And he is incredibly concerned about that, and he has sent his Holy Spirit and given us his word. Why? To give us some information? Really? No. To transform us, to change us. So that we can become like Jesus Christ, not transporting ourselves back to some sort of first century, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but rather that the character and the affections and the thoughts and the speech and all of this about what characterized Jesus would be lived out in the 21st century through my body and my being wherever I live. And the gospel, this is what God has called us to. He's called us to this kind of transformation. So, we're looking today at how to grow my character. I want you to turn your chairs and get in groups. I know you love this. So, I'm going to give you the opportunity. And we're going to talk for a few minutes and answer this question. What is character? So let's turn our chairs, introduce yourselves, and have a conversation for a few minutes. What is character? Five, four, three, two, one. All right, let's turn it in. Well, I'm sure now, because there's a lot of wisdom in the room about what character is, I hope that it expanded maybe what your thinking was regarding wisdom, regarding character. I would like to just, I'm going to talk through that and see where your group connected with that, or maybe it can add to some of your understanding, okay? Character is not the same thing as reputation. What others think about us. Character is not the same as success, what we achieve or what we do. Character is who we are. My character is the default me. And it's very important, the word default. What is consistently true and naturally evidenced in my life. It's my essential nature, who I truly am over the long haul. Bill Hybels, pastor, said, it is who we are when no one's looking. Gordon MacDonald said, it's the deep current of what we are within, day after day. He goes on to say, the real person that emerges in the most difficult or challenging moments in your life. John Maxwell calls him calls character the most important asset that you have. You see, character identifies the thoughts and attitudes and affections and the resulting behaviors that actually characterize or distinguish my life in front of other people. Rick Warren says it's the only thing you're going to take to heaven with you. While both are important to God, He primarily tilts towards who you are before what you do, which is tough in our culture, which measures everyone by achievement, production. I grew up in the Christian Missionary Alliance, which is a holiness denomination, and so you might hear terms. Here's what I'm going to advocate today. Character is an umbrella word that it would include things like holiness, godliness, integrity. I just want us to understand. I want to take you through a very quick trip through some critical passages of Scripture, and here's what I want to advocate. That what these scriptures are teaching, we often in our brains dissect out, and I'm going to say that generally they're speaking about the same thing. And I'm going to tell you what it is when we're finished reading a few of them. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, it's a very famous verse talking about how our flesh and the spirit war against each other, and it talks about what the evidences are of the flesh, and then he finishes with this, but the fruit or the evidence, the marks, the distinguishing character that the Holy Spirit is actually alive and working in our lives, the evidence of the Spirit's presence is love, joy, peace, say it with me, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. All of these traits combine to describe character. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with what? Virtue. And virtue with what? Knowledge. And with knowledge? Oh, where have you heard self-control? Galatians 2. And self-control with?
Steadfastness.
We learned about that in Grit series, didn't we? Perseverance. Steadfastness. And steadfastness with?
Godliness.
And godliness with? Brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with?
Love.
For if these qualities, these traits, are yours, that is, if they characterize you, and are what?
Increasing.
There's some wonderful promises right here. Here's what happens. They will keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, often read at marriage ceremonies, it's really more about life in the church. And here's what we know. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. These are incredible traits. Here are many stated in the negative. If we took the time, we could say, okay, what's the opposite of not being rude? What's the opposite of not insisting on your own way? You see, we could do all of that. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. As the Lord has, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility,
meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As, there's a ratio word here, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Here's what I want to, not argue, but I want to posit before you this morning. That character, all of these things that we've saying are essentially talking about the same thing. They are describing Jesus. And we know that it is God's purpose and plan, His desire and His will, that you and I be conformed to the image of Jesus. When we talk about growing our character, it's not trying to put on a few things that actually will strengthen us and make us look good. No, it is actually the process of becoming like the one we follow, Jesus. Growing the character of Jesus in us. It's becoming more like Christ in His character, His thoughts, His affections, His behavior. So, character is revealed in a number of ways. It gets revealed through our thoughts and our attitudes. It gets revealed through emotions. It gets revealed through speech. How we speak to one another, do we, all of that, and through our behavior. See, character is like love. You don't know its presence until it's revealed. For example, how do you know you love a spouse or a child? Prove it. How can you prove the wind? You see its effects, you see. The same thing happens with character. It's revealed in thoughts and emotions, speech and behavior, maybe other ways. Do we understand? Do you get a better handle what character is this morning? Sometimes in the church and in our world, we use words all the time, but we really don't necessarily have a real grasp on what that is about. So, there are many characteristics or traits that we read this morning. And I just want to highlight some of them. Patience. Goodness. Sexual purity. Joy. Kindness. Faithfulness, love, compassion, humility, forgiveness, gentleness, being hospitable, being temperate, being a truth teller, you're trustworthy, being wholesome, you're courageous, disciplined, righteous, holiness, meekness, gratitude, honest, content, hopeful, bold, merciful. And then all the negative ones. We're not rude, not boastful, not keep records of wrongs. We're not easily angered. We're not malicious. We're not quarrelsome. We don't envy. We don't gossip. We don't love money. These all and others are pieces to the puzzle of what is character. And especially the character of Jesus. So here's what I want to do. I want to answer briefly why grow your character. Like, What's the big deal? And then I'm going to give you maybe the most practical teaching on actually how you actually do it. Are you okay with that? So here, why? This would be great to do in groups, but we've got to move on. First thing is this, why grow our character? The scripture teaches us that character makes us fruitful in this life. And by fruitful, it means like to be effective in doing and accomplishing and bearing fruit, doing the things that God calls us to fulfill our purpose and all of that. The passage that we read in 2 Peter tells us that if these qualities are in us and are increasing, that is, if they are growing, we won't be ineffective or unfruitful. I don't know about you, but times in my life when I haven't borne fruit, almost always there's a direct correlation between how my character is growing or not. So, do you want to make a difference with your life? Do you want to please God and do the things He calls you to do? Growing your character will make sure that you're not ineffective or unfruitful. That's just why it's important. Another one, it assures us of our salvation. Do you ever wonder, am I really a Christian? Am I saved? Am I not? Am I going to make it? Am I not going to make it? Oftentimes we doubt feeling whether or not we're saved. And here's one of the greatest assurances of it. Better than trying to think that, man, when I was 3 years old, I said something and prayed a little prayer. There is a greater way that'll give you assurance that these qualities are increasing in your life. Because as 2 Peter told us, not just will we not be unfruitful, but he says, it will keep you from falling. And a way into heaven will be lavishly, you know, provided for you. So we can stew and wonder all we want to, but if we actually are about the business of growing Christ-likeness and His character in us, it will give us great assurance that I'm a child of God, and if I were to die tonight, I know exactly where I'd be. His life already is in me, and it's growing in me, and there isn't going to be a nanosecond where that's going to disappear. It'll give you great assurance. It affects the outcome of our prayers. Did you know that? A lack of character, we learned in James, because if our character is wrong, we're going to ask for selfish motives, or we're not even going to ask at all. And 1 Peter tells us that actually how we treat our spouses actually affects our prayers. So our character is huge. It can actually hinder our prayers. It qualifies us for ministry or service. Growing our character does. It just gets us in the game. It gives great assurance. And I'll tell you this, if you want increased leadership responsibility in the kingdom of God and in the church, there's only one way to get that, friends. Growing your character. It reveals Jesus and testifies to His work. When people see the changes that are occurring in you over time, they go, man, what's going on? You say, well, that's the difference that Christ is making in my life. You see, it witnesses in the beauty of your character transformation over time. It actually witnesses to Jesus and His transforming work. And lastly, although you can probably come up with more, you're a very smart crowd, it determines our reward in heaven. Determines our reward in heaven. This is a whole sermon in itself, and I won't take time to go there. But the scripture is very, very clear that how we live and what we do for God, what we say, all of these things will be everyone, Christians, we think that because we become a Christian, we are going to escape the judgment of God. And we are, in a sense, going to escape the great white throne. You know, we're going to escape, the wrath of God against, you know, whether or not we are his children. Here's the deal, though. All of us are going to face the judgment seat of Christ to test our works and our words, and to see if what we did had eternal value. And all of our works at that time are going to be burned up, and it will reveal, was all that we did just fluff, wood, hay, stubble? Or was it gold, silver, and precious stone? And based on that, Scripture tells us that we will actually be rewarded according to those things. And you can stockpile reward in heaven, or you can get in by the skin of your teeth. So, does it make sense? Are we okay? So here, let's talk about how do we practically grow our character. How? And what I'm doing is focusing on the our part of this partnership between God and us. There have been people who believe passionately that we have no part to play in the growing of our character. But a quick few statements in the scriptures, 2 Corinthians 7, purify ourselves. Let's purify ourselves. Philippians 2, work out your salvation. 1 Timothy 4, train yourself to be godly. 2 Peter, make every effort to add to your faith. You see, we have a part to play in this. Again, our part is intentional effort in cooperation with God. So, here's how we can develop character. Now, I've provided last minute, that's what I was doing this morning. I had this idea this morning that instead of just rattling this off, I should make a handout for you and give it to you later. So, on the back table, or as people are leaving, there will be people, right, Scott, who will be handing out something you can fold in half, put in your Bible, and use it as a study, because there's tons of scripture there, and it's a way to help. So just let's listen to this. How to develop character, and it's very, very simple. First, reflect and ask Jesus, what character trait would he like you to work on? I'll tell you, if you want to ask Jesus a question, you want to know if he speaks, just ask him that one. Jesus, what's next in my character development? What would you like me to focus on? And you wait for him, and a word will come to you, or a verse. And one of these traits, patience, sexual purity, kindness, self-control, discipline, courage, holiness, contentment, whatever it happens to be, one of those character traits. And whatever he says to you, then you trust him. And here's what you do. Secondly, you pray daily about that trait in your life. Third, tell a trusted friend asking for their consistent prayers for you in that development. You want to invoke someone else to pray for you. Again, listening prayer for practical ideas that the Holy Spirit will give you. And this is the wonderful dynamic of the relationship between us and Christ, is when we ask him, Lord, okay, I'm going to work on this. Do you have any ideas? I ask the Lord that, and when I'm dealing with, you know, being a husband, how can I love Leah better, Lord? What do you want me to do with my kids, Lord, these days? You know, I asked the Lord that once 2 years ago with my son, Dylan. And you know what the Lord was? Very, very clear. He said this, touch him every time you get a chance. Touch him, squeeze him. For whatever reason, the Lord knew that Dylan needed that.
So I've obeyed that ever since. It's just helped us stay connected. But there's lots of little things that the Holy Spirit will give you ideas if you trust Him. Then confess and repent any bitterness, offenses, or sins. Especially in relates to this particular trait. For example, if the Holy Spirit tells you to be patient, then part of the process of growing that, you're going to have to get alone with God, and chances are you're going to have to confess and repent of offenses and bitterness or hurt you've caused or sins because of your impatience. Does that make sense? You may need the next step about receiving inner healing. That is where you invite the presence of God to do something a little extra for you, to maybe get some help in understanding why you're feeling this way or what causes you to react the way you do. It might be need for some deliverance or experiencing spiritual freedom because of some harassment or getting some good godly counsel. We just got to keep going there. Then we learn, study, and memorize verses about that trait. So, thank God for electronic devices and all of that. And if it's patience or if it's whatever it happens to be, just go into Bible Gateway or some, YouVersion and search for that word. And then just start reading through, and there'll be some of those verses. Not every one you need to memorize 600 verses about something, but take a couple of those key verses and begin to read them and think about them and memorize them. And what happens if you begin to focus and reflect on those verses of Scripture about that trait, it's amazing what the Word of God, which is living and active, will begin to do in your heart in that area. And then be filled ongoingly with the Holy Spirit's power so that you can grow in this. There's a very real insight in that 2 Timothy passage that I had missed in many times working with that. And here's what it says. He says before he gives that list, he says that his divine power has granted us everything that pertains to life and godliness. There is a power that comes from God Himself that enables us to get these and work these traits into our lives. So we need to be ongoingly filled with the Holy Spirit of God and trusting His power to be at work in our lives. Isn't it good to know that when God calls us to do something, He doesn't leave us all by ourselves, but He actually comes and will fill our very being and work with us in the development of those character traits? Does that make sense to you? Now, I want you to imagine one thing. Could you imagine what would happen to this church if every single one of us sitting here this morning grew this year significantly in one character trait? Just one. It'd be like revival. What would happen in your relationships at work, if you grew in one character trait? And probably the biggest one that's tripping us up. What about in your marriage relationships or with your parents or siblings? If you grew in one character trait, can you imagine? Doesn't something happen within you? You go, man, I want to do that. And so you keep doing that, and you keep doing that until you begin to see in your thoughts and in your speech and your behaviors and your affections and your emotions that character trait, you see it beginning to manifest itself on a consistent basis. And then what do? Repeat steps 1 to 10. Holy Spirit, which character trait do you want me to work on next? It's not that you're going to be perfect in that, but you'll be stronger, way stronger in it. So then it's time to pick another one up. You see, and in a full-orbed way, we grow our character. So to that end, church, may this be our choice today. Make every effort to add to your faith. And a great place to start is right here around this table. Because I don't know about you, but when you think a character trait you're lacking, often we think of failure and sin, shame, guilt. What a great place to make the turnaround. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I personally commit to keep leaning into the character trait you've been having me work on for the past 3 or 4 weeks. Jesus, keep it growing and going. Holy Spirit, fill me because I can't do it myself. Take your word, Lord, and those verses that I've been reading and memorizing, Lord, make them alive and may they shape my character, I pray. Thank you for brothers and sisters that are praying for me, and I thank you, God, for their encouragement. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room that you would do the same, that they would make a commitment this day that they will work on their character, that is, that you would be evidenced in their lives more and more. But I pray in your grace, Lord, that you would come to them and meet them right here at communion today to bring your forgiveness, pour out your mercy, extend your grace. Lord Jesus, have mercy on all of us and forgive our sin, our shortcomings, and our neglect of our growth in you. We commit this day to leaning in, cooperating with you in our character. So I pray for our church as they gather and take bread and cup today, that before eating it, Lord, they would express, may they express themselves for their lack of character. And would they invite your grace and your forgiveness to begin anew and afresh today. To that end, I invoke your presence, Lord Jesus, that as we eat, may you feed our hungry souls. As we drink, may you quench our spiritual thirst, for this is more than just a symbol. Holy Spirit, come and make real the very grace that you intended, Lord Jesus, through this meal to your people. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.